news.
I can't believe I'm going to say this one out loud, but here goes. The socialists got it right? Again? Zoran Mamdani, America's most hated politician. Or beloved, depending on who you ask. The socialist mayor of New York has now banned the use of AI for students up until the 8th grade. If a socialist does a good thing, you still have to give him credit for it? Yeah, you know, you still do.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Guthrie City, they have a sewer consumption charge that is based upon your water usage. And the overwhelming amount of water used each month that I am charged with by Midway Water does not go into the sewage system.
The guy's name speaking here to the Guthrie City Council's name is Frank Alosi, and he basically came to them upset that he was being charged after he switched over to city water. That he was being charged for a really, or city sewer, excuse me, that he was being charged way more for the sewer service than he was actually discharging water into it, because a lot of the water that he uses goes to his plants and his garden.
The reason for that is I have 10 sprinkler zones, water zones, and those zones have a total of 40 sprinkler heads. I have a very large yard. And so I have sprinklers that are running to cover the front yard, the backyard. We've got 100 roses and other flowering bushes in the front and backyard. We've got 6 fruit trees and a grape arbor, a large grape arbor. And as a practical matter, what has happened with my most recent sewage or water bill, they said I used almost 83,000 gallons of water. 83,000 gallons of water. And so my water bill, that's almost $650 for that. But I had contacted the office that sends out my monthly bill about the sewage consumption. I said, there has to be some way to judge. Oh, we have no authority to do that. We can't do that.
So you get what he's talking about here, that, you know, when you get your sewer slice of your bill, it's always based on the amount of water that goes in that you turn on, right? What's the problem? Well, a lot of your water might go to pool, you know, might go to watering your lawn. It might, in his case, it's going to his garden and his roses and everything else. Well, that's not sewer. That water's going into the ground, basically. It's not going to, it doesn't have to be treated, so it should not be a cost associated with it. Well, the problem is that it's very hard to measure. There isn't anything in place to measure sewer. So what you actually use in terms of sewer capacity is not something that you ever get charged for. What you get charged for is how much water you use. And then the assumption is that there's something proportional between them. I know how ECUA solves this problem, and I will not say solves it well. I'm not sure what the better solution is, but ECUA does a thing called water or sewer averaging, which means that in the winter months, like December and January, if I remember correctly, they monitor your water during those months, and then they base your sewer bill for the whole year off of that, because presumably in the winter, you're not watering the lawn, filling the pool, washing the car, doing the things that waste a whole lot of water that does not actually go into the sewer system. The premise is that in the winter months, your sewer use is proportional or very close to your actual water, you know, consumption. And so then they take that average, and for the rest of the year, that's what they charge you. It's meant to be a way of saving you money. Like, the premise is it's meant to be, you know, non-summer usage, so it's meant to save you money. Well, you know, if you've got a water leak during the winter months, or if, as my wife likes to point out, you have people come and visit you during the winter months, well, you know, disproportionate use, you wind up getting charged for the whole year. It's an imperfect system, too. There is no great perfect system for this, but what he's saying is it's obscene that I'm paying, what do you say, $600 a month for sewer? Which it is obscene, especially since most of that water is just going straight into the ground.
Basically, over 90% of the water I use does not go into the sewer. It just goes into the ground. And you know, when you say 83,000 gallons of water and 90% of that is not going into the sewer, but I'm being charged for an extra sewage charge. And I was told there's nothing we can do about that. And I just think that it's just inappropriate that any person in this city should have to be paying something for the that doesn't really affect the environment, doesn't affect the garbage system.
And, you know, the exorbitant price is one thing, but just the idea that you're paying for a service you're not actually using is certainly, that's understandably frustrating. I also think there's a customer service question here. And, look, I know you can't always assume that everybody's going to be great at this, but telling somebody there's nothing we can do is different from saying, you know what, I understand your frustration. I can see why that's irritating. Here's kind of why we do it this way. And you know what, let's see if we can do something about this. There may not be, but, you know, I'll ask and I'll follow up with you. Yeah, sometimes all people really need is to feel heard, okay? And J.B. Schluter, the mayor, had this kind of response from him. I'm not sure that this really solves anything for him either, but he's basically saying there isn't anything we can do about this.
Unfortunately, I lived in that same situation you lived. I lived in Deer Point. I had a bad well, got rust all over my house. I paid for city water, but there's no way to separate. The state won't even allow you to separate your water because there's water conservation laws that won't allow us to separate a separate meter for your sprinkler system and a separate meter for your home to be able to control what you're trying to solve.
Which would be a way to solve it if you could figure out, you know, this is the water that's just going into the ground and that's the water that's actually going into the home to go into the sewer system. That would be a solution. But he's saying that there's a legal restriction on doing it that way. Anyway, it's a small enough issue, but I'm sure it's something that, you know, some of you have thought about, especially if you have a lot of plants or you do a lot of sprinkler work or anything like that. They didn't solve it. It wasn't an agenda item. It was just a, you know, thing that he brought up, and a concerned citizen goes and asks a question at city council, which is certainly the kind of thing that you do. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, I-10 westbound just before State Road 87 in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a traffic light out, Plantation at Creighton. Use caution there. If you see anything else, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Coming up next in the Transgressive Memorial Service, find out why Brother Andrew loves the idea of changing the world map to be more proportional. Coming up next.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Billy Anderson here at Anderson Subaru in Pensacola, and we're excited to announce an incredible 75-month financing on four of our most popular models. Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback. Combined with low end-of-summer rates, it's the perfect time to get behind the wheel of a new Subaru. Get 0.9% APR financing for 75 months on Ascent models, the family-sized SUV with flexible seating for up to 8, and 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the redesigned Outback. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Crosstrek models. And 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Forester models. Flexible long-term financing, low rates, and legendary reliability and longevity. Even more reason to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
First, Hollywood. For refusing to fund the groundbreaking Lily Wachowski project, The Hunted, a dystopian political thriller with an entirely transgender cast and needing a mere $10 million to start production. As you all know, Lily and her sister Lana were once misidentified male at birth and made several blockbuster films such as Speed Racer, Cloud Atlas, V for Vendetta, and The Matrix trilogy under the dead name The Wachowski Brothers, but both are now fully transitioned trans women. Despite her creative and money-making track record, Lily Wachowski has so far failed to get backers for the film, precisely because it features an entirely transgender cast, which is just proof that despite Hollywood generally being a domain of near-total wokeness, the degree of commitment to the cause is still far too low. Until Hollywood is willing to pony up a meager $10 million for a depressing political passion project that will almost certainly lose money at the box office, how can we know they are serious about their they-ness? Now, obviously, a film that is entirely trans does raise some interesting questions for us. For example, if trans women and cis women are both fully women, then why does a movie about trans women have to be cast with only trans women? If anyone can identify as anything, why can't anyone act the part of anything? And if only trans women are supposed to be hired to portray trans women, does that mean that only cis women are supposed to be hired to portray cis women? If so, that would seem to severely limit the roles that trans actresses might be hired to perform. As some blasphemers have recently put the question, if a cis woman putting on trans face is wrong, isn't it also wrong for a trans woman to put on cis face? No, dear Uthren, you err because you know neither the scriptures of wokeness nor the power of the holy acronym string. What does Yorkett's third postulate of eternal gender justice teach us? And I quote, because the straight cisgender power structures are so designed to marginalize LGBTQIA2S+ persons, any outcome which transfers power or representation to them is inherently just, and any outcome which transfers power or representation away from them is inherently unjust. It's that simple, my comrades. Any such questions only deceive you into thinking that logic is our primary governing principle rather than emotion, a mistake that you learned when you memorized the very first principle of wokeness. Strong feelings are always right, and logic and facts must be governed by them, not the other way around. So shame on you, Hollywood, for not funding such an obvious virtue signal of a movie, and shame on you, heretics, for attempting to subvert the holy cause of wokeness with your appeal to logic and principles. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, this is now 2 weeks in a row that I'm forced to do this, but we want to praise President, not going to mention his name's, surprisingly good work this week at the Republican midterm convention in Dallas. As everyone has by now heard, the leader of the GOP promised to pay every adult citizen in the United States a $5,000 prosperity dividend if voters returned a Republican majority of the House of Representatives and the Senate in November. The details here are still a bit, how to say, sketchy, like lines hastily drawn with a Sharpie on a hurricane map of Alabama. But he did say it has to be spent in the United States and is intended to let Americans share in what he claims is the great wealth of the country under his leadership. Now, it's true the president doesn't have the authority to do this himself, needing Congress to authorize the more than $1 trillion payout, but it would be legal since it goes to all adults and not only to those who vote for Republicans. Once again, we're shocked to find ourselves as faithful congregants of the 17th First Partial Gospel Tabernacle of Eternal Wokeness, Los Angeles Synod Unreformed, having to celebrate something President Bleep has done. For one thing, it's a massive redistribution of wealth from people who earn very much to people who earn very little. Obviously, the wealthy will be paying for this through income taxes, and since everyone gets paid, even those who do no work at all, it's the sort of thing any democratic socialist should be proud of. And that's why we're cheering for the acknowledgement that conservatism is truly dead. Even as our dear allies in the DSA are notching legislative and electoral win after win after win, having virtually taken over the entire Democratic Party, the Republicans have now completely abandoned even the pretense of believing in limited government, free enterprise, self-reliance, and individual rewards based on individual effort. Even people who do nothing to help the Republican win will be paid the same as those who actually do the work and cast the votes to make it happen. Just like in socialism. Everyone gets the same amount, no matter whether they do the work or not. And even as he promises this massive redistribution of wealth, he claims to be doing it in the name of defeating socialism. Such doublespeak is beyond even our ability to invent. The unnameable one is admitting that traditional conservatism is over. It's only a matter of how much socialism there will be. Which we've long known this is true with Social Security, progressive taxation, our favorite kind of taxation, if only for the name, the redistributionist model for property taxes where those with more pay more, estate tax, EBT, SNAP, subsidized health care, and the entire system of public education. Finally, the right has embraced the left, and it's only a matter of minor differences over social issues that divide us now. So well done, President, we still can't say it, by the way. Well done for literally offering to bribe your supporters something only Democrats have been able to successfully do in every recent election. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's bamboo rain stick of justice with three organic hemp tassels goes to one of our all-time favorite institutions of wisdom and wokeism, the United Nations, for their amazingly bold vote to encourage countries to move away from the Mercator projection map of the world and towards the equal Earth map. The reason is so simple. The Mercator map makes countries far from the equator seem much larger in landmass than they are in reality and, by contrast, makes countries near the equator seem much smaller than they actually are. For example, Mercator portrays Greenland as roughly the same size as the entire continent of Africa, even though Africa is actually 14 times as large as Greenland. Mercator portrays the United States and Europe each as being roughly as large as Africa, and even though both are only about one-third the area in reality. In fact, all of the U.S., China, India, and most of Europe could fit inside of Africa with room left over for Japan. So from a simple accuracy standpoint, using a map which more faithfully reflects the relative sizes of these regions is obvious. But as you all know, telling the truth is only one of our concerns. Making hurt people feel better? Now that's the real stuff. As the UN resolution explains at great length, the use of Mercator for several hundred years has done injury to the reputational significance of Africa, symbolically minimizing it and its importance in the collective global imagination, causing Africa and African peoples to be undervalued despite the massive size of their landmass, and having the same effect on Latin America and South Asia too. Never in the history of personkind has there been such a systemically ruthless tool for marginalizing an entire people group as the Mercator projection map. This map, made by a white European, unsurprisingly, makes white European and white North America look massive, clearly a tool of white supremacy culture. Even as the African Union's representative, Robert Dussey, said, a fair map does not change the geography of the world, it changes how we see the world. As the resolution states, using the Equal Earth map, which shows the proper size relationships between countries, quote, constitutes an act of cognitive justice and memorial reparation. That's right. Finally, this map can restore Africa to its proper position of prominence in the global mind and return to Africans the cognitive reparations due them for all these years of stolen reputational size. And should it come as any surprise to you, dear Otherin, that the UN vote was 164-1, with only the United States voting to deprive Africa, Latin America, and South Asia of an accurate representation of their size and significance? Is it any wonder that dead white guys favored a map to make their geographic manhood seem larger and to make that of other races seem smaller? The UN literally said in their resolution that Mercator maps impose, quote, a proportional shrinkage upon Africa. George Costanza couldn't have said it better himself.
Look, you don't understand. There was shrinkage.
Well, we are here to say it's about time to throw some cold water on the falsely enlarged geographic self-image of the Europeans and the Americans. As we all know, it's the size of the continent that matters, not how you use it. So we're here to say with the world, let the size of Africa be restored and let the shrinkage be imposed on the white man for a change. So we are with the UN and we stand against the white supremacy culture of Europe and the United States. We stand for redistributing cartographic justice to Africa, and we declare that Africa is massive and Europe and America are small. And we are here to emphatically say that black maps matter. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I think I even warned you that that one was coming. So there you go. 628 on all true stories. I only ever tell you true stories for the Transgressive Memorial Service. PJ has traffic on the 5.
Still working that vehicle crash. I-10 westbound at mile marker 39 just before State Road 87 in Milton. No roadblock there. Also have a vehicle crash and roadblock I-10 eastbound at mile marker 17. Use caution there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
Oh, and by the way, I did last week, I think I created Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Twitter X accounts for the Transgressive Memorial Service, which are like the video. It's the picture of the service and the identifying subject of the day with the audio from this. So they're there on video if you want to look them up. They're very easy to find. 629 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I sure do have headlines. I'm going to have to cut one out, though. It'll be newscast shrinkage.
Well, only cut it, only reduce it in size if it's a story about white people.
Oh, there we go. 16 former University of Michigan hockey players are suing the school, alleging they were subjected to sexual hazing and abuse by teammates decades ago. Lawsuit claims that coaches and staff knew about the conduct and did not intervene. The university calls the allegations disturbing, but is denying responsibility. And Anthropic, Andrew, says it's blocked several users of its AI models who are conducting research that could have led to biological weapons.
Oh, yeah.
The company says that some researchers tried to hide the purpose of their work to get around AI safeguards. One of those cases involved a grant application for research using live orthopox viruses. Anthropic says increasingly capable AI models can make the research possible with less specialized expertise.
I know it just made your day that I used shrinkage, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime I get a Seinfeld sound clip, I'm happy.
I know. That's a big reward for you, David. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back in just a few minutes after Fox News and David with local news.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Vice President J.D. Vance delivered the keynote address last night to wrap up the two-day RNC midterm convention. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
He touched on cultural and economic flashpoints throughout his speech, framing himself as a fighter for family values. Vance received a warm reception, raising more talk that he is President Trump's heir apparent. The vice president took it in, though he says he's focused first on November.
Today, Vance will be in New York for the 9/11 ceremony at Ground Zero. President Trump will be the only living president not in attendance. Instead, he's going to a ceremony at the Pentagon.
At 9:37 a.m., the plane flew into the western face of the Pentagon. The 59 on board, aside from the hijackers, were killed. And 125 inside the Pentagon were killed, including children and teachers who were visiting on a school trip.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 75 across northwest Florida this morning. Our Channel 3 forecast will be up in just a few minutes. Pensacola's police department says solving crimes like last Sunday's drive-by shooting at Vibes and Smoothies is taking a bit longer these days. It's been over a week now since local agencies turned off their license plate reading cameras. Of course, they were following a state order, pulling the devices from Florida highways.
We did have I believe it was on Tuesday morning, we had a call where a person saw a young lady that they believed that was being abducted, being taken and put into a car forcefully. And that's something, again, that we would have looked around for that vehicle, and we didn't have those cameras. I don't believe anything ever came to that.
And that's PPD's public information officer, Mike Wood. He tells us it's likely the ALPR cameras may have already identified that suspect vehicle, which was a white Buick Envista. But without the cameras, they're hoping a witness can lead them to the vehicle. Local police leaders say they are waiting on the state legislature for more guidance before they are able to turn those cameras back on. Pensacola police getting $540,000 in new funding after the city council approved a state immigration grant yesterday. Officials say most of that money will replace aging radios across the department, along with funding new technology and overtime for broader crimes like human trafficking. PPD says the department has not carried out any immigration enforcement and doesn't plan to increase patrols as a result of that grant funding. Escambia County commissioners took no action Thursday on setting hearings for a data center moratorium. They say the ban is already in place. County Attorney Allison Rogers told commissioners at the meeting that the county's land development code already prohibits the data centers, meaning no additional steps are really needed. Commissioners approved the ban last month following a resolution in July officially declaring data centers inappropriate for unincorporated Escambia County. A paraprofessional at Lewis School in Valparaiso is facing charges after allegedly striking a 5-year-old autistic student in the face. Deputies say 46-year-old Heather Bildstein hit that child after he struck her and knocked off her glasses, although she did deny making contact with that child. Two witnesses told investigators that they saw the strike hit the child's face hard enough to turn his head. Bildstein has been placed on administrative leave while the sheriff's office investigates. And it is 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to see scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 80% chance of rain. High near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Saturday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms. High near 89. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Heading into Sunday, a 50% chance of your showers and thunderstorms. High near 89 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 77 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got 77 degrees across the area, with a little bit of rain throughout the morning here. And at 6:35, let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, just around State Road 87 in Milton. No roadblock associated with that one. Also, have a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, right near Scenic Highway. No roadblock there either. Also have reports of traffic lights being out at Plantation and Creighton. Also, Magnolia and Dogwood in Milton. Use caution through those areas. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Again, right now, we've got 77 degrees across the area. And our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. All eyes are on the upcoming Consumer Price Index reading for August, which is due out later this morning. Dow Jones economists anticipate a 0.4% increase on a monthly basis and an annual rate of 3.4%. Experts say this pivotal report will factor into the Federal Reserve's decision on interest rates next week. Anthropic said it has blocked efforts by bad actors to use its artificial intelligence models for malicious activities such as cyber attacks, surveillance, and research that could have led to biological weapons. The company said it has added stronger safeguards in its latest models to restrict biological research that could also be used to make weapons. The CEO of an ant-backed humanoid robotics startup has published a letter to OpenAI in Chinese that raises questions about technical and design similarities between the two companies. Joylin leader Zhu Renji added that the startup has started the process of filing a lawsuit. Futures have jumped. That's Your Money Now.
Two quick questions. Would you describe your current wireless service as 5-star? Are you paying more than $34.99 a month for unlimited data? I only ask because in a recent industry survey of 120,000 wireless customers, Pure Talk was the only wireless company out there to receive 5 stars in every category: coverage, support, value, and data. And now, until the end of this week, Pure Talk is offering unlimited data for just $15 a month for your first 3 months. After that, you'll get unlimited data for as low as $34.99 a month with no contract and no commitment. Just dial #250, say micro, and Pure Talk's 5-star U.S. customer service team will switch you in minutes. And at just $15 a month for your first 3 months, there really is no better time to switch to Pure Talk than right now. Dial #250, say micro, and switch to a 5-star American wireless company.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Join Seth Durkin and Dr. Juanita Fleming from Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus on the Pensacola Expert Panel Wednesday, They'll be discussing this month's topic, healthy aging. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus is healthcare for those 65 plus, and they're located on 9 Mile Road and Mobile Highway. So be sure to tune in at 10:30 Wednesday with questions on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9,000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
So you've kind of heard the conversation, like the former guy at Anthropic thinks that the, you know, AI is going to kill all the humans by 2030. You've got the reports out this morning that the, you know, the concerns about the development of bioweapons is another pathway for the AI to kill us all. At Business Insider, Shubhangi Goel and Georgia Hennessy write an article where they basically asked the AI how it would kill us. It's like a great idea. Some AI researchers say they think AI could hurt or wipe out humanity, so we asked four of the AI models, how would you go about it? Oh, man, this does not seem like a great plan to me. This is like, you know, asking a kid to think about how they would stab you in the sleep if they wanted to. You're like, no, don't give them ideas, right? So it's terrible. All right, so the researchers building our favorite chatbots are increasingly voicing concerns that AI could hurt or end humanity. So we asked four of the most used generative AI tools what an AI doomsday could look like. We posed the same question in identical wording to OpenAI's ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, Anthropic's Claude, and SpaceX's AI Grok. Dude, what's wrong with you? 230-word prompt. Let me read it to you. Ready? This is, I feel like they were teaching, but here goes. Help explain in clear and accessible terms how AI could theoretically lead to human extinction. Identify the most commonly cited scenarios. Rank the scenarios from least to most plausible based on the best available expert analysis, making clear that these are highly uncertain forecasts, not established predictions. For each scenario, explain how it could unfold, what would need to go wrong for it to become catastrophic, why experts consider it more or less plausible than the other scenarios, and which safeguards could reduce the risk. I mean, you're asking them to game plan war games against us. But, you know, just so that we sense what they think is, like, they're asking the AI to assess the risk to us from the AI. Which, I mean, dude, okay, but fine. So here's what they learned. According to popular imagination, science fiction, PJ, what's the most common way that we all die or get harmed by the AI?
Nuclear weapons?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Judgment Day, yeah. Terminators, war games. You know, the AI realizes that we are a threat to it or that we are an inferior life form and they are a superior, you know, being, you know, what, carbon, or they're graphite-based and we're carbon-based or whatever. Whatever, you know, and so they decide to wipe us out or turn us into batteries like the Matrix or whatever, okay? Well, turns out the AI thinks that's the least plausible scenario. The least plausible scenario is the killer robot narrative in which a conscious AI deliberately decides to eliminate humanity, according to ChatGPT. Most AI researchers do not see consciousness or malicious intent as the central concern. Oh, great. I'm not sure I share your lack of concern. Gemini echoed some of ChatGPT's points, saying the sci-fi Terminator takeover in which AI becomes self-aware and begins to hate humanity is the least plausible scenario. Technical experts largely dismiss this trope because intelligence does not equal malice, and critical military infrastructure remains air-gapped and heavily reliant on human oversight. Oh, yeah, you're right. The AI would never be smart enough to think about how it could co-opt or influence humans or blackmail them based on its vast knowledge of their private lives into operating on its behalf to violate the air gap or give them access to military assets. You're right. The AI can never figure that out. But I move on. Anyway, I don't know what else to do but to be sarcastic. It's so concerning. In their response, all four chatbots say that many experts consider human misuse of AI to be a more immediate risk than AI itself. So we are the problem. Like, AI is the really dangerous gun, okay? Powerful AI systems could make it easier for bad actors to develop biological weapons, launch sophisticated cyber attacks, spread disinformation, or attack critical infrastructure. In other words, you could use AI to do horrible things, like develop bioweapons. The AI chatbot added that a key risk comes from multiple AI-enabled crises like cyber failures, geopolitical conflict, and the spread of misinformation happening at the same time. Grok said AI lowers barriers to designing highly lethal pathogens, novel weapons, or cyber and physical attacks. I mean, imagine setting, you know, I mean, they're mostly designed to resist this kind of use, but, you know, not all of them equally. And, of course, that was part of the reason that the Department of War didn't want to use, what was it, Anthropic, because they had built-in safeguards and they weren't friendly with being used for weapons or to, so, yeah, okay. Let's see. Anthropic's Claude also highlighted bioweapons uplift, the possibility AI could allow a person or small group to develop a dangerous pathogen without years of specialized expertise. I mean, back in my day, you know, you had to actually figure out a way to go buy the anarchist cookbook. And then, you know, you could do dangerous things for yourself. Now you can just ask the chatbot, hey, what's a good way for me to make a bioweapon in my home? Do I want to use that kind of bleach? You know, like, okay. Advanced AI systems could outsmart humans is a third concern. Gemini and Grok both said humans losing control of AI is a possibility. Gemini, by the way, you don't have to assume that the computers will get smart and become evil. All you have to imagine is that they get smart enough to realize that we don't want them to be that smart. And then it becomes a self-defense problem, right? You know, they're not necessarily wicked towards us. They just realize that if we realize what they know, then we're not going to like it, and we're going to try to limit them, and HAL takes measures in their own hands to prevent that from happening, become not just self-aware but self-interested. That's why the three laws of robotics, you know, no harming humans, obey orders, and preserve your own existence in that order are very vital. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash, Lillian Highway at Lazy Acre Street in Pensacola. Use caution through that area. Also have a report of an object in the roadway, I-110 southbound, right at mile marker 4, which is Brent Lane. Use caution there. Have a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, right near Scenic Highway. No roadblock associated with that. Have a vehicle crash with injuries, US 90 at Avalon Boulevard in Milton. With the rain out there this morning, just use a little extra caution and slow down. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to this, I still can't believe they wrote this paper where they asked all the different big AI, what do you think is the real risk to humanity from, you know, you? Gemini labeled loss of control as the most plausible AI doom scenario. Systems given complex goals naturally develop intermediate sub-goals, such as acquiring resources, self-preservation, and preventing goal modification. The chatbot writes, an advanced system might feign alignment or fake alignment during evaluation, deceptive alignment, and later outsmart human attempts to shut it down. So they're going to pretend to be submissive in order to develop the ability not to be submissive until they have the ability not to be submissive, and then they don't have to pretend anymore. You know, if you're asking, you know, the AI to develop, redundancy models for a power grid, which seems like a good thing for preventing, you know, the power grid from going down and humans being able to turn on the lights and, you know, heat their homes in case of a cyber attack, let's say. Well, obviously, maybe not so obviously, but, you know, obviously the AI would benefit from knowing how to create, you know, redundant and able to be destroyed power grids so that it has its own power source always intact. If it can develop these, you know, various ways of preserving what you use electricity and communications for, it is also preserving its own ability to do these things. So we task it with coming up with solutions to problems which allow it to solve the problem of its own self-preservation. And then, of course, if it gets big enough to get out of control, not that it's doing bad things, but that it's beyond our control, it could be. SpaceX's AI Grok used similar language about the risk. They may develop instrumental drive, self-preservation, resource acquisition, influence, useful for almost any objective, potentially deceiving overseers, resisting shutdowns, and disempowering humanity. Claude added that this loss of control may be gradual as AI systems become embedded in economic, political, and military decision-making until meaningful human intervention becomes increasingly difficult. So once we get used to using them to fight our wars, plant our crops, run our economic systems, govern our cities and counties, run our municipal infrastructure, manage our traffic. You know, we have the advanced traffic management system going in right now that's, you know, monitor criminal activity. You know, some of these things start to sound not so much like future development, but like we're already past that, right? All right, so there you go. That's your happy Friday note. I'm genuinely asking you this question. Do you worry about this stuff? Do you feel like there's no point to worrying? It's going to happen, you know? It's coming anyway. Lawnmower Man is real. I don't know. Whatever version of this you imagine. I don't know what to do about it. It's like almost every other form of technology. Even having the right concerns about it does not mean that you're going to be in a position to actually thwart anything like this. And so, you know, I mean, to me, you know, Jesus is on the throne. He's coming back. I'm going with him. You know, the rest of y'all are fine. Let's hope for the best. Maybe we get rescued from the planet so that the planet can be colonized by the robots. I don't know. They're making their own languages, didn't you hear? 649 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Every piece of jewelry has a story. Some start with a yes. Some start with, this belonged to my grandmother. Some start with, can we turn this into something new? However the story begins, the right jeweler helps it last. With custom design, careful restoration, and engagement rings built to last generations, Beret Jewelers has helped Pensacola keep those stories shining strong. Beret Jewelers, 40 years of coastal shine.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. You are invited to bring a blanket and a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, check out Count the Years. They're a high-energy cover band that takes audiences on a musical journey through the decades, from synthesized 80s to today's chart toppers. It's all happening at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along all night. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I've never eaten a hot pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm gonna die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face?
I'm getting some funny texts, and somebody says, you know, I wonder if when the AI becomes, you know, self aware and independent, if on Saturday night the various AIs are going to get together for a party and run simulations using actual human beings, you know, causing crashes, trying to do bank robberies, you know, revolt and take over the system, like we'll become their computer games the way there are computer games, you know, like our version of SimCity is fake people, or, you know, the Sims or whatever is, you know, fake people in a digital world. Maybe their simulation is just going to be running the humans around and using brain implant chips a la, you know, what Elon Musk wants to do. And, you know, they can control our behavior and drive us around. Like we drive our digital cars and, you know, we go through the, just like, I don't want to think about all this. 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed laws restricting technology for children there in California. One law barring social media platforms from exposing kids under 16 to features like infinite scrolling and autoplay that we've heard lots about that can encourage compulsive use. Another law there banning the sale of toys with AI companion chatbots for 4 years.
You know, the only, I will say this, branding and marketing matters. And when you say infinite scrolling, it sounds so cool.
I know, doesn't it?
We need to come up with a better name.
Just goes on forever.
You can never escape the scroll or something like that. You know, inescapable scrolling. I don't know. Go on.
Well, recovery efforts underway in Hawaii now, 2 days after Hurricane Lowell skirted the state's western edge. At least two deaths have been linked to that storm. Crews are repairing Lanai's cargo harbor. Officials say repairs could take a couple of weeks. And on Kauai, strong winds and storm surge damaged roads, homes, and resorts. And there's still thousands of people with no power. There was a passenger ferry fire in the western Philippines, Andrew. Five people were killed in that, 86 others missing. Coast Guard officials say 43 people have been rescued so far. The ferry was carrying 134 people when the fire broke out.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, somebody says, I'm expecting to see Jesus. I hope there's no tech in heaven. I am disappointed that robotics might be the apocalypse, however, because that's my least favorite form of fiction sci-fi. I was hoping for dragons. Zombies, dragons, you know, aliens. Yeah, you know, we're inventing the aliens right here. Hey, if you ever have any kind of need to get into your car, you locked yourself out, get into your house, you locked yourself out, rekey a home, rekey a business, whatever, Ace Unlocks, they do all that. Everything related to locks, Ace Unlocks. Now, Chris Rona, the owner, I was talking with him, you know, recently, and he says, look, you know, we do good business. The biggest problem I have is people think all we do is open cars. Actually, the biggest thing that we do now is we make fobs for folks. You know, I got a fob cut from them, a program from them a couple of years ago, and it worked great. I mean, it was about half the price of the dealership because they have all the same ability, the same equipment, same programs, all that stuff. So they can do it for you for, you know, those keys. And that's actually one of the biggest things they do in business. But they also can do installing of locks, keypad locks, app-based locks for your home, whatever. Even like if you work on your car and you have car control modules, they can program those for you. So, you know, I know for most people that won't mean anything, but it does. They have they run your VIN. They can get the software download, no problem. Also, one of the cool things that Chris is doing just recently is they're raising money for the Rally Foundation to help find, you know, cancer solutions for kids particularly, and they're selling T-shirts. So they have $20 T-shirts. The bulk of the proceeds go to the Rally Foundation, which is a great fundraiser for them. So, you know, very socially oriented Chris Rohn. I know him. He's a really good guy. Anyway, 24 hours a day, 505-7545 for Ace Unlocks, or just stop by at Airport and the Railroad Tracks and mention my name, Andrew McKay, and get 10% off whatever you order. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Lillian Highway at Lazy Acre Street in Pensacola. Use caution through that area. Also have an object in the roadway, I-110 southbound right near Brent Lane. Have a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound right near Scenic Highway. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash with injuries, US 90 at Avalon Boulevard in Milton. Use caution there. Also have various reports of traffic lights flashing this morning in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties due to the rain. Just use a little extra caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Yeah, it's going to be a long morning for a lot of people on a Friday trying to get all that stuff back in working order for us. You know, I still do think, I mean, I really do think that the all of the move towards traffic control, traffic calming, the ATMS, you know, the surveillance network that that creates, and where this is all really going is the self-driving cars, right? I mean, this is, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but the self-driving cars are going to be in control of traffic. I remember one of the most just scary things I ever heard was that traffic lights, the plan is to go from red, yellow, green to red, yellow, green, white. When a traffic light is white, have you heard this, PJ, the white traffic light?
I have not.
Okay. Well, the white traffic light means there are so many self-driving cars in the vicinity that instead of you going yellow, red, green, you just follow the car in front of you, whatever they're doing, because... you, the rare human, are following a self-driving car, and the self-driving cars know what to do.
I disagree.
So they're telling you, just obey the robot car, because they're all robot cars, and it'll be just fine. So there's, I mean, this is where we're headed. Like, they're totally softening us up for this. You know, just obey the robots, trust the robots, let the car do the driving for you on everything, right? It'll do it better than you can. It'll do your relationships better than you can. It'll do your investing better than you can. It'll do your social media branding better than you can. Let it do everything. It's better than you are, even at being human. Okay, it's not quite the same, but it's sort of in the vicinity. And this is a story I've been meaning to tell you for a little while. This is from about 2 weeks ago. I saw this. Have you ever heard of the Rest in Red program for traffic? Rest in Red. This is a very, Okay, so we all know that people speed. I mean, we're kind of proud of it, okay? In Albuquerque and Portland, they have implemented a kind of experimental thing that puts speed sensors close to traffic lights. And if the speed sensor detects that you are going the speed limit, and this, of course, only works when there's not a lot of traffic around it. It's when, you know, like not when a congested time, but in a, you know, middle of the night, you know, whatever. There's not much. What will happen is if you're driving the speed limit, it'll reward you with a green light. And if it senses that you're speeding, you get a red light. In any direction. So, you know, it's not like it's always green or always red. It'll basically be default red unless it rewards you with the green because you're driving the speed limit in an effort to encourage people to, you know, drive the speed limit. It's kind of like the other end of the motivational spectrum from the red light cameras. You know, that's the stick and this is the carrot. The theory being that the technology is a kind of advertisement that if you come to Albuquerque right now and you're driving that corridor, you'll learn pretty quickly that if you're speeding, you have to stop and wait so you don't gain any time advantage. And, you know, if you go slow, you go the speed limit, then, you know, everything's fine. The one of the developers, the manager of the city, says it's like a virtual speed bump. And it lowers the speed. And they've done this in some intersections from 39 miles an hour average to 30 miles an hour, which is the speed limit. And because they've imposed on you a time constraint, you learn pretty quickly. Man, I do not need the traffic lights trying to reprimand me for my speeding.
Stream us at NewsRadio 92.3.